our story. When we're moved to create something extraordinary, something that comes fully from who we are, from what gets us out of bed in the morning, from a clear and relentless vision, it often comes out of a place of necessity, a place of pain, from an experience or an event that narrows our sights on a purpose. My daughter was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes in February 2012. I'm reluctant to talk about this event as if it's the only defining moment in my life. I certainly don't want to make my glorious, fierce daughter into a diabetes poster child. But the fact is that turn of events changed the life course of everyone in our family. The ripple went wide. Gone were the carefree days of eating whatever we wanted at potlucks and picnics, going out for ice cream, sleeping well and deeply at night, taking for granted that everyone would wake up in the morning relatively happy. There came the days of tests, finger pricks and needles, of frustrating doctor visits, of fear that was so stealthy, so quietly present, that it would coolly walk into my mind like a ghost long after I thought it was gone. On that first day, her father cried in the hospital kitchen asking me, "Why couldn't it have been me?" As if it worked like that, as if it was his fault, as if he could take it from her. My daughter stated to me from her hospital bed, "I'm going to have this for the rest of my life," like she just knew, like some kind of wisdom had come over her and she understood what it all meant. Me, I got busy, as I always do. I took charge and arrived at the hospital the next day with a pot of homemade soup determined to make her well. Both my daughter and her father saw something I did not. They saw what I knew we couldn't focus on at the time or we wouldn't get through. The very long road ahead. My babe struggled. In the teen years, chronic illness is a tough road to hoe. Even with what I know about health and diabetes in particular, I couldn't always reach her or help her as much as I'd have liked. Sometimes I felt I couldn't reach her at all. That all of the untruths were taught about powerlessness, medicalized health, non-medical healing methods, nutrition, and other lifestyle interventions were stronger than what her own mother and fiercest advocate was trying to teach her. It became difficult to discern whether her struggles were due to normal teenage angst or the roller coaster of highs and lows in both blood sugars and hormones. Teenhood is tough enough as it is, but add a chronic illness that invades your privacy and exposes every flaw and mistake, and you have one hell of a challenge. Diabetes made her at times prickly, alone, and angry. Everything would break apart with the slightest crunch of the eggshells I walked on. She wasn't able to be as free as a teenage girl wants to be. In so many ways, this embodied existence was a prison. All of you mamas out there know that once your children are born, the umbilical cord is never really severed. We feel our children's joy and we also feel their pain. I once wrote in a poem that my children are my hearts walking outside of me. They're out in the world raw and vulnerable. They make us vulnerable to every heartbreak or challenge they encounter. And we want so desperately to fix them or patch them up. I did another thing I do in situations I want to change. I spent countless hours adding certifications to my list of credentials, researching everything from blog posts by other parents to academic articles and research studies to materials from the schools I attended. I went to conferences both online and in person. I even began to host them and speak for dozens more. I called doctors and practitioners and met the best face-to-face. I learned from podcasts, lessons, and trainings, both scholarly and others that aired for the public. I dug deep into what might have caused one of my own to fall and how to get her back up again. I didn't reach that sunny place right away. I chased the horizon and the sun kept setting. I felt alone, overwhelmed, and like I could never learn or know enough. Every moment that passed felt like another nail in my daughter's coffin. I had to figure it out. What was the cause? What could we do about it? What I grew up believing wasn't true. A diagnosis wasn't the end, but the beginning. Still, it got worse before it got better. My other two children had their own health struggles, one with depression and autoimmunity, and the other with severe anemia and GI trouble. And their father and I were falling apart as well. There I was, trying to make a fledgling business fly, working so much that the lines between work and life were practically non-existent, researching at least 4 hours a day, lecturing and running programs, homeschooling, getting 3 kids off to sports 7 times a week, studying and meeting deadlines, trying to stretch the little money we had to pay for testing and supplements I wasn't sure were right or working, and navigating the healthcare system with forms and healthcare visits. I was frustrated, angry, disempowered, and hopeless that anyone could or would help us. I spent limited, precious energy explaining our diet and money priorities to relatives who couldn't understand. I was spinning my wheels and was spent emotionally and financially. One day when I was speaking with Brenda, our insurance broker, figuring out details about our house insurance when the topic of health came up, for some serendipitous reason, I mentioned we had been navigating health issues with one of our children. She asked me if our daughter's condition was terminal, just like that. I was surprised by the question, but I told her no, it wasn't terminal, but chronic. We had a lot of success, but new challenges were cropping up as we moved through life and the changes that come with it. It turned out that Brenda also has type 1. This connected us for sure, but what she said next penetrated deep into my heart. The reason she asked me about the status of our daughter's condition was because years ago, she lost her young son to leukemia. I was amazed by her strength when she spoke so calmly and clearly about how he fought to live for 6 years, while I cried on the other end of the phone. My mama heart went out to hers. Next, she told me her nephew, like my daughter, had type 1 but committed suicide at the age of 18. My own son was 18 at the time. What could that possibly be like? Honestly, my friends, I often say that I don't know how people get through losing a child or the struggles they face every day when one of them is sick or hurting. But I suppose I do know. The way we get through is to support each other by listening, as well as sharing our own stories. By sharing what we've learned so we can help our fallen get back up again. Whether that be our children, our grandparents, our parents, our friends, or us. Brenda said she regretted one thing, that she didn't know then what she knows now. Isn't that always how it goes? If only I had known. I'd think this thought at times when I racked my brain, wondering what happened to our once carefree daughter who wasn't damaged, but who had to grow up perhaps a little too soon. That thought comes less often now. It flits in my mind like a caged bird, and I let it go. I choose to focus on what we can do now. I choose to focus on what we have, and with that, we move on. Parents and caregivers, you can't prevent everything. You can't know everything. You do the best with what you can prevent and know at the time. Although we parents need to be the head of our families and guide our children using what we've learned, a large part of parenting is letting go and surrendering. We must not beat ourselves up about the things we didn't know or can't control. What we can do is build and act on what we do know and share that knowledge with other parents. We can decide not to settle for less. We can become empowered and empower our children and broader communities. Empowerment is being able to access more support and information to make this thing we call health easier to navigate. No one comes to a place of health and happiness by doing nothing. Weight doesn't melt away without a change in diet or lifestyle. Good thoughts don't fall from the sky. You can't close your eyes and hope the pimples, depression, addiction, asthma, allergies, and chronic illness will just go away. Healthy habits don't form without action. There's no prevention without understanding the cause. Although we need to be gentle with ourselves, this gentle approach must be balanced with a good kick in the rear to grab the controls and fly the plane. I cried when I listened to Brenda tell me about her 2 fallen children. Their stories have been ringing through my mind since and will continue to do so forever. Their stories, and those of my own children and the other families I work with every day, solidify my mission, inform me as to what I need to do. They inspire me to join forces with families who feel lost, hopeless, and afraid, or simply want good, quality family health information. They're the reason I wrote this book. How did I regain control? Or more accurately, how do I continually lose control but get it back again and again? I read every book, and I read every book I can get my hands on. But I also reach out to people, lots of people. I get educated by adding certifications and coursework to my degrees. Like an inquisitive, relentless 4-year-old, I ask many questions and to naturopaths, doctors, and practitioners, to informed groups and forums. Note that not all are informed, so I'm very selective. And to my ever-growing list of contacts and colleagues. I'm sure I annoy a lot of people, and if they're annoyed or can't help, I ask someone else. In the beginning, I started out asking the advice and thoughts of the brilliant people I could trust. As I learned more and wanted to do more, I ran with this information, creating projects, initiatives, and collaborative efforts with those people to drastically improve the situations of families who were struggling, not only with health issues, but with the fallout that comes with them: burnout, loneliness, fear, powerlessness. I created the Lotus Health Project and Children's Health Summits and the Healthy Family Formula, knowing that these projects would grow up to be a health revolution. I was also still trying to find it all out for myself at the same time as being a support to others. Yet instead of feeling like an imposter, I realized that this was the best place to be if I was to make some real change. Community isn't a hierarchy where one person is always at the top and the rest are the lowly know-nothings. Community is like the body. It's a system of moving parts, each contributing, each with a job to do, a strength, a purpose, each essential for the health of the others. Community is about mutual support, where we are all teachers sharing our own individual expertise and information. A community is a space to both receive and to give. An exchange, a co-creation. So yes, there are teachers, but those teachers also learn from their students. We're all both students and teachers. Once I started to put myself and my work out into the world, I heard back from parents, grandparents, teachers, and others. Now, every day I encounter families just like ours. Families who want answers, families ready to blow the lid off this thing we call health. When I send out information by way of newsletters and other writings, I hope my words resonate with and that the people reading my work feel less alone. I often receive confirming feedback that they do, but what I also receive is a tidal wave of support for me. These parents and caregivers tell me that I'm not alone. They get stronger, I get stronger, and as the saying goes, a rising tide lifts all boats. These responses demonstrate how parents can navigate through our trials and tribulations, through the support of each other. With the strength I continue to gather from your candor, support, and gifts of hope, I continue to create and uncover more resources for us all, for parents like you and for mamas like Brenda. I'm honored and proud of what we continue to co-create in response to all of this. A game-changing approach to health for both ourselves and our children.